Good morning, church. Good morning. All right, we're going to do something here. It's a beautiful summer day. I'm going to change it up just a little bit. I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And you're going to say, rejoice and be glad in it. Can you do that? Let's do one. Okay. Rejoice and be glad in it. Let's hear it.
Rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Welcome to each and every one of you. It's so good to look out and to see you all. Want to welcome any visitors who are with us today. So glad that you're with us as well. There are some visitor cards in the back of your pew. If you are visiting and would like to fill one out, we would love to be in touch with you. Couple of quick announcements. First of all, Don and Barb Fretz have delivered. Following the worship service today, there will be corn, I understand tomatoes, peppers, there's a bunch of stuff downstairs that they have brought from their, they must have a mini farm or something. But they have brought these vegetables for us, the bounty of the earth, so that we can help with the restoration project of the exterior walls here at St. John's. So I hope that you make your way downstairs, not only for fellowship, but to help yourself to some vegetables. There is a donation that's being asked. And then I'd like to have Abby Lamp. Come on up, Abby. Abby has an announcement.
Good morning. As most of you know, I love to tell stories. But I know that there's a lot of other people that have great stories to tell, too. You may remember when Ken Hales told us the story about when he was a kid. And he came home from church, and their sheep was across the street, and they had to go get all the sheep back, and wow, that was such a memorable story. So I'm sure that a lot of you have stories like that to tell, too. Why am I bringing this up now? Well, we have a lot of children's stories to cover between now and when Pastor Addie gets back. And I have a lot of stories to tell, too. But I would love it if you all would share your stories too. So if you have one, a particular story you'd like to share, or a date that you think I'm gonna be here on that date and I can help out, please let me know and we can figure all the details out. Thank you.
Okay, now is the time when we put everything else aside and we bring our hearts, our voices, our minds, and all that is within us to worship.
Thank you.
We gather, aware of the forces of oppression, brutality, and pain at work in the world. And in the midst of such danger and desperation, we trust that God is at work, liberating, sustaining, and healing. Our spiritual ancestors experienced bondage, cruelty, and denigration. Powerless as they were, our spiritual ancestors also experienced redemption as God bestowed life and blessing upon them. We come to worship as a grateful community, understanding that we too have been set free from the bondage of sin and destruction. We are liberated from the grip of sin and death and set free to serve, not as forced laborers, but as followers of Jesus Christ. Join with me now in our confession. God, whose power and majesty lie beyond our complete understanding, we confess there are times when we should speak out against oppression, injustice, and the forces of abusive power, but do not. We lose hope, confidence, and courage, finding ourselves paralyzed and without options. Liberating God, instead of accepting the status quo, restore in us the ability to resist the powers of evil, to use creative disobedience instead of resorting to violence. Give us the wisdom to hold steady in the preservation of life and blessing when the voices around us call for denigration and destruction. Give us, renewing God, the patience, compassion, and love we need to care for those who are victimized, dismissed, and disregarded as we seek to be servants to all. Amen. We are grateful for new beginnings and grateful to God who allows us to begin again without holding the past against us. We are free to love, serve, and experience joy, knowing we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading for this morning is Exodus 1:8 through chapter 2:10, verse 10. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Rameses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians subjected the Israelites to hard servitude and made their lives bitter with hard servitude in mortar and bricks and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstool, if it is a son, kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This ends our scripture reading for this morning.
Technology. So here we are. We were talking earlier about our vacations, but right now what I want to talk about is the Phillies. And that's why I have my bucket hat on and my medallion. And I promise this ties into the story about Moses, so just bear with me. So of course I think any time we can talk about the Phillies, especially this year, is a good thing. So let me tell you a story about one of the Phillies players named Trey Turner. Now, he's new on the Phillies this year. And he was supposed to be this really great player, and he got this really big contract, and everybody was excited about him coming. But he was not playing very well. And when people don't play well, regardless of what the game is, what usually happens to them? What do other people do when somebody's not doing a good job?
Mean to them.
And if you're watching a game and somebody doesn't play well, what do the people do sometimes?
They yell boo.
Yeah. They yell boo, right? Well, somebody got on a talk show and said, maybe instead of booing, we should cheer for him. And the next day, a miracle happened. When Trey Turner came up to bat, everybody not only cheered for him, but they gave him a standing ovation. And the next time he came up to bat, they did the same thing. And guess what? All of a sudden, Trey Turner is one of the best players we have, because a whole lot of people got together and decided to help him out rather than just boo him and make things difficult. Okay, now here's how it ties into Moses. Anybody get to the point? Moses was just a baby in this story, right? And the Pharaoh of Egypt decided he didn't want those Israelites to have a lot of power. So maybe he'd just get rid of all the boys. And Moses was put in that basket, and the midwives didn't tell that he was alive, and the other people didn't tell. And then Pharaoh's sister got in on the act, and she helped out by taking him out of the river. And then other people helped to raise Moses. And he went on, spoiler alert, if you come back next week, you'll hear what great things Moses did, because a lot of people got together to help him and the other boys live when the king or Pharaoh said he didn't want them to be alive. And that's sometimes a lot of people getting together to do good things can have a really good outcome. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So thank you, God, for working through other people to help us do the right thing. And thank you for giving us such good leaders, and as Moses, which we will learn about. And thank you for giving us a prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Such a beautiful piece of music. Just, I'm picturing this flowing river. Thank you, handbell ensemble, and Andrew. So we are going to talk about a river this morning. The Nile. As you know, the Nile River is located in Egypt. And one of the most pivotal stories in all of Scripture is the story of the Exodus, God's liberation of the Hebrews, who were under the heavy and brutal yoke of slavery. The descendants of Joseph, as you know, we've been following this story of Joseph, his descendants and other Hebrews had settled in Egypt years earlier due to a severe famine. And now, these Hebrews had been reduced to enslaved status. The king of Egypt warned that if the Hebrews were not contained, they might join with other people and attempt to overrun Egyptian society. The fear was that if the population of Hebrews got too big, they would take us over. Or they might just simply leave Egypt, leaving Egypt without a workforce. Either way, the Egyptian king, Pharaoh, framed the situation of the growing Hebrew population as an attack on their way of life, an invasion of their Egyptian culture, a potential loss of control over their nation. Pharaoh had instilled xenophobic fears among the citizens of Egypt. The campaign began when Pharaoh and his overseers became excessively brutal, attempting to crush the Hebrews through back-breaking labor, extreme brutality and oppression. And when you foster this type of evil, the people you oppress become only objects in the eyes of the oppressors. It's a thoroughly dehumanizing form of evil. And then when the Hebrews kept growing in population despite their inhumane treatment, Pharaoh resorted to meeting with midwives. Two in particular, ordering these midwives to kill all the male Hebrew babies. And in a courageous act of disobedience, those midwives disregarded Pharaoh's order. Later, when they were interrogated, those midwives, Shifra and Pua, in an act of creative disobedience, explained to Pharaoh that the Hebrew women were vigorous. In fact, the Hebrew word here suggests that these Hebrew women were beasts when it came to delivering children. They would just pop these children out, no pain. And these babies would arrive, they just came out of the womb, came so fast that the midwives didn't have a chance to get there. This infuriated Pharaoh. And so now, in a drastic and abhorrent move, Pharaoh ordered all the Hebrew babies to be drowned in the Nile River, all the males. Moses' mother, she's unnamed in the text, but her name is Jochebed. She did everything she could to keep her son alive, hiding him as best she could. But after 3 months, it became harder and harder to keep her son undercover. And her last resort, her last option, was to prepare as best she could a waterproof basket, placing her infant son in it, and then placing this basket into the Nile River among some reeds along the shoreline. She was hoping for a miracle. And a miracle happened. We like to talk a lot about heroes in our culture. Those who do amazing things, those whose bravery and courage sometimes leads to fame and notoriety. However, the five women I'd like to focus on today, the five sheroes found in the story of Moses' birth, well, they never gained full celebrity status within Scripture, at least not at the level Moses did. But all five of these women refused to go along with Pharaoh's death-dealing ways and instead sought to preserve life. One of the central truths of God's story is the preservation of life. In fact, it's been noted that the story of Moses' birth, of a baby condemned to death and then rescued or brought back to life, is a death-to-life story. Each of these women never resorted to force. They never resorted to violence in an attempt to live out their deepest, most bedrock set of values. They chose to stand for life and to preserve it. It was a creative form of resistance against an empire of brutality. Now, I've already mentioned those midwives, Shifra and Puah. The biblical account remembers the names of these women, but refuses to name Pharaoh. simply referring to him as the king of Egypt. They cleverly resisted Pharaoh by claiming that Hebrew women gave birth too quickly for any of them to be of assistance. It was a remarkable and ingenious way to resist the oppressive machinations of a death-dealing tyrant. I've already mentioned Moses' mother, Jochebed, for her heroism, her fierce love for her baby son, her innate understanding that life is to be cherished, preserved, not eliminated, not exterminated. She used every available resource at her disposal to creatively save her baby. And then in the story, there's Miriam. Miriam is Jochebed's daughter, Moses' older sister. And as that baby brother was floating along the Nile, Miriam watched and kept vigil. And then she strategically offered to find a nursemaid to feed her brother once he was fetched out of the Nile by Pharaoh's daughter. And then in this story, this supreme irony, the very daughter of the man who ordered such a horrific genocide comes upon Jochebed's baby floating helplessly upon the water and rescues him. Pharaoh's daughter, defying her own father's mandate. She heard the baby's cry, much in the same way God heard the cry of the Hebrews in their agony. All five women resisting the powers of evil, all five women oriented around the preservation of life, all five women exercising leadership without any kind of formal authority. All five women keenly aware that they answered not to Pharaoh, but to that unnamed power, the divine. Tomorrow, Monday, August 28th, we will observe the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington. On August 28th, 1963, roughly 250,000 people, about 75 to 80% of them black, made their way to Washington, D.C. from cities such as New York, Boston, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Birmingham, Alabama. According to Wikipedia, one reporter, Fred Pelledge, accompanied African Americans who boarded six buses in Birmingham, Alabama, for the 750-mile trip to Washington. The New York Times carried his report, and it reads, and I quote, "The 260 demonstrators from Birmingham of all ages carried picnic baskets, water jugs, Bibles and a major weapon. Their willingness to march, sing, and pray in protest against discrimination. And as all you know, during a stirring and heart-lifting speech, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. shared his dream of a nation that would one day live up to its creed. All men, all people, are created equal. Now that march in 1963 had been going on previously. The seeds of that march had been planted years before. You see, back in December of 1955, I wasn't even born yet. I was on my way. But in December of 55, a woman named Rosa Parks boarded a bus on the way home from a department store in Montgomery, Alabama. And when the white bus driver demanded that she and three other blacks move to the back of the bus, Miss Parks politely refused. She was arrested, booked, fingerprinted, and incarcerated. And in her autobiography, Parks writes, and I quote, "People always say that I didn't give up my seat because I was tired. But that isn't true. I was not tired physically, or no more tired than I usually was at the end of a working day. I was not old, although some people have an image of me as being old then. I was 42. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in." End quote. Like the five women who creatively and non-violently resisted the oppressive regime of Pharaoh at the time of Moses' birth, so did Rosa Parks thousands of years later. Creatively and effectively resisted the powers of oppression and cruelty. All these women had compassion for the marginalized, the oppressed, the vulnerable, making a stand, or in this case, remaining seated, for a cause of justice is a form of leading from below. This is how Jesus led. Not from a place of political power, not from a place of social benefit, but from a place of humility, innovation, creativity, and love of God. Oppression and evil continues. Yesterday afternoon, a 20-year-old in Jacksonville, Florida, took an AK-47 and a Glock pistol, went into a dollar store, and killed three blacks because he hated blacks. The struggle of oppression and tyranny and hatred, that struggle continues. We read this story in Exodus thousands of years ago. And the oppression still raises its ugly head. And so you and I, we are those people who must lead from below. We must lead with love. We must follow the way of Jesus. And I believe that is, in the end, good news. Amen.
At this time, I would like to share some joys and concerns of the congregation. It was great to see everyone yesterday when Lansdale Borough and the Lansdale Historical Society presented the Lifetime Achievement Award posthumously to Reverend Sue. We have been aware of what a bright light Sue has been here at St. John's, but sometimes we forget all the lives she touched throughout the community, through MANA, hospice, the ministerium, and a myriad of community activities that she was a part of. Many also knew her just through her column in The Reporter. It was a reward that she truly deserved, and I think in her own quiet way would have been proud. Thank you, Reverend Sue. We also thank all of those who helped with the Founders Day here, right here at St. John's. We had over 60 people come and tour our church, and we had many guides throughout the church who talked about our beautiful stained glass windows. So we really thank all of those people who were involved and were part of the community event. Another joy is the upcoming anticipation of Wednesday Night Alive. We hope that you mark your calendars and that you come. It's something that really will aid the church in growing and help to reach the community. Another joy, the birth of Stellan Hemlock Emery on August 26th to Annette and Josh Emery. Stellan is the grandson of Emily Truscott. Now some concerns. We keep in our thoughts and prayers Jim Stevenson. He is undergoing chemotherapy at the University of Pennsylvania. We remember Jim and his wife Lois in this very difficult time. We also continue to pray for Alan Johnston, who is in care at the Horsham Center. Alan was recently diagnosed with pneumonia, in addition to all the other battles with illness that he continues to fight on with. We think of the people of Maui, and we pray for hope for those whose lives have really been turned upside down through the destruction of the fires there. Now let us turn our hearts and our minds to prayer. Father, we thank you that no matter what, you are with us and by our side. We thank you for this congregation and for our church family. We thank you for our leadership, past, present, and future. Lord, at times we become discouraged with the problems of life, the division within our community, our country, and our world. We many times focus on our differences rather than our humanity. Like the people of old, we tend to be short-sighted, blinded by our own limited perception of time. Forgive us, Lord, and help us trust in the hope that only you can bring to our lives and to the world. Help us, like the Hebrew midwives of old, to do the right thing in the midst of the pressures that surround us. Help each of us to be a beacon of light when darkness surrounds us. Lord, when we think of the light that surrounds us, we thank you for the life of Reverend Sue and the lives she touched in our church and community. We thank you for her lifetime achievement honor. Lord, we pray for our upcoming Wednesday Night Alive program. May it strengthen our church and be a blessing in our community. We thank you for the new life of Shellen Emery, and we wish your blessings on this child. We continue to pray for Jim Stevenson and his family. Give them peace and be with Jim throughout his treatment. We think of Alan Johnston. Give him comfort, peace, and hope in you. Bless Judy as she is by his side. For the people of Maui, we pray for hope as they confront hardship, as they endure. And now for our individual concerns, we take time in silence for your guidance. For all of these things, Father, we ask your blessing. Amen.
You and I have been blessed in so many different ways, ways that we're aware of, and in ways that are deeply hidden within our lives. We are gifts to this creation, and those gifts were given to us by a gracious and loving God. And so now we pause and we take some time to offer those gifts, that generosity, for the world that is continuing to unfold in love and grace. Let us now receive those gifts. O gracious God, take these gifts and use them. Have these gifts flow throughout the earth like a beautiful river, bringing grace and peace and love. And we pray it in the name of the one who taught us all things about love, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you. Oh, you like that? So did I. Brothers, sisters, siblings, we've gathered. And now each one of us goes to those places in the world. We are the bearers of love. We are the bearers of hope. We are the bearers of goodness, kindness. So may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.